Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is none other than Ben Vanderweel of Vanderweel Farms here in Palmer. Good morning, Ben. Thanks for being here.
Oh, good morning to you.
I know it's a very busy time at the farm, so I appreciate you taking the time to be here with me today. We're going to chat about a couple of things. You haven't been on the show with me yet, so I'd like to talk a little bit about Vanderweel Farms in general, and then we've got a fun event coming up next Saturday, so we'll spend some time talking about that, okay?
Yes, sounds good.
All right, sounds good. All right, Ben, you're pretty famous around these parts because you've been producing food for so long for your Palmer neighbors, but let's talk a little bit about the history of Vanderweel Farms. When did you come to Palmer?
My wife and I are immigrants from the Netherlands. We came here in the 2nd July in 1967 and been farming in the Palmer area ever since.
Yeah, so I'm not good at math, but that's over 50 years now, right?
Yeah, right on. You're good at math. My sponsors were Max and Dorsey Sherritt.
Okay.
They were colonists, came here in 1936, and if it wasn't for them, then we wouldn't be here.
Yeah. So what, you had sponsors that helped you get your start, but what made you want to leave the Netherlands and come to Alaska?
At that time in the Netherlands, it was not economical feasible for a young family to get started in a farm. My parents had lost their farm due to city expansion. They got paid for it, but in the meantime, property was so expensive that it really couldn't be penciled out to make a living at that time.
Okay.
So, and then after high school, I went to an agriculture school, didn't make graduation because I went as an exchange student on the boat, came across the Atlantic from Rotterdam to Montreal, was an exchange student to Canada for 9 months, and that kind of opened my eyes that there was more opportunities in North America than there was in Western Europe.
Okay. You come from a long line of farmers, right?
Yeah. As far as we can go back, I'm the 10th generation farmer. All my family generation before that, they literally were full-time farmers.
Yeah.
That's what they did. And the farm that my dad was born onto is still in business, and the other side of the family is still operating that farm to this day.
Okay, very good. And you have brothers and sisters that, did any of them become farmers in the Netherlands?
No, they were smarter than me. They didn't get involved in agriculture. I have two brothers and one sister, and they were all in technical fields. So
okay.
I turned out to be the only farmer in our family.
Okay. And if I remember correctly, it was one of your sisters that that turned you on to Alaska, right?
Yeah. At the time, my sister, she was a stewardess at the KLM, Royal Dutch Airlines. And back in the 60s, there was this deal with Russia going on that airplanes couldn't fly over the Russian airspace. So all the Western European airlines flew over the pole. So that's what KLM also did. They flew Amsterdam, Anchorage, straight hop. And then they spent some time, 2-3 days in Anchorage. And then the plane came back from Japan and take the crew back. So she started looking around the Mad Valley and kind of made an original connection.
Okay, very good. So 51 years ago, you and Seuss arrive in Palmer, and I imagine it looked a little bit different back then than it looks now.
Yeah, there were a lot of gravel road, a lot of dust.
And a lot more farms, right?
A lot more farms, yeah. The following year in 68, I ended up joining the Alaska Potato Growers Association. I was member number 25.
Okay.
And my neighbor was a dairy farm, the Woodward Brothers, and that is now a gravel pit. And most of all these dairy and vegetable farms are gone by the wayside by now.
Yeah. The Springer system has changed a lot over the your time here, right?
Yeah, where we live on the Outer Springer, that was just a horse and buggy trail. You know, it was difficult for two cars to pass. And, yeah, it was just totally different than what it is now, that's for sure.
Absolutely. But your family has carved out your chunks of land and made your living there. And all three of your children are back on the farm now, right?
Yeah, that was kind of surprisingly. We didn't think that when they were teenagers, that is especially the oldest son and my daughter would come back. The youngest son, Roger, he always talked about it ever since he was in elementary school. He wanted to be a farmer.
Yeah.
And he followed through. After high school, he went to OSU in Corvallis first, but that wasn't quite the horticulture school to be in. And then with some help, we got him into Cal Poly. And got a degree in crop science from San Luis Obispo.
Yep. And now all three of them are back on the farm. They've all got their roles that they play, and you guys are...
Yeah, they pretty much took over the major roles in management. They like to boss our parents around, and and that's just been working out good. We really get along pretty well. They all have their own responsibility, but we all work together. If there is certain aspects, a harvest busy or planting time, we all pitch in and we all work. And
absolutely,
it's been good.
Yeah, yeah. And production, well, not production, but farm work is year-round at Vander Weel Farms, right?
Yes,
I mean,
it
there's
is.
Something going on all the time.
Right, yeah. In the summertime, we work 7 days a week, long hours. In the wintertime, we cut that down to 5 days a week. But we have our own small packaging operation. So on the carrot line, we do 2 pounds and 5 pound carrots, which takes a lot of labor to do that. And then in the potato line, we also do small packaging, and that goes in a 3 pound and 5 pound and 10 pound bag. And so it gives employment for our year-round employees, and we deliver to the back door of the grocery store. So, it's been a good run.
Yeah. And statewide, right? Your vegetables get all over the state, not just here in the valley.
Yeah, no, a few years ago I used to supply AC stores, and we were literally all the way from Barrow to Ketchikan and Petersburg. But
wow!
But AC doesn't do that anymore. They're now owned by a Canadian outfit. But yeah, we supply Car Safeway and Fred Meyer and a few Walmart stores. So our products literally end up in Fairbanks and Kenai and Soldotna and Seward and every place in between.
All over. This time of year, Ben, it's April already, which kind of blows my mind. But what products are on the shelves today? You guys are running a little low on things, right?
Yeah. Just last week, we finally ran out of carrots.
Yeah.
That was a very good crop. We probably had more carrots in the October harvest of 2017 than ever before, and they sold very well. And last week we delivered the last carrots to the grocery store. So now we're down to potatoes. We got red skin potatoes, we got yellow flesh potatoes, and then of course all the russets.
Yeah. So heads up to listeners, if they should get to the grocery store pronto if they want their hands on carrots, or they're probably already off the shelves. They're gone. Yeah. Oh, bad news for everybody.
Yes.
And you just mentioned that carrot harvest won't happen again until October, right? September,
yeah,
October?
That's usually, sometimes we start in September, but I think that colder weather at the end of the season really converts some of those carbohydrates back to sugars. And that kind of sets the quality of Alaska-grown carrots apart. They're just much better than anything else. So we developed a good name. My daughter, especially, and Roger too. They're very quality conscientious, and
absolutely,
I think we're putting out a pretty nice pack.
Absolutely, and in part due to the state-of-the-art storage facility that you have, right? You have a special building just for carrots.
Yeah, our storage is literally top of the. What? How do you say that?
top of the line.
Computer operated. Yeah. It's very close margins. Carrots are very particular for temperature and humidity, and potatoes are a lot easier to store. But yeah, carrots are pretty finicky if you want to keep the quality up. It literally takes hundreds of gallons of water a day to pump in our storage, and temperature setting on these computers are within 1 degree of Fahrenheit. So yeah. Wow. That has quite a bit to do with it.
Yeah, but it turns into results, because those carrots, even though they came out of the ground months and months ago, the stuff that was on the shelf this week still tasted outstanding,
yeah,
right?
They are.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Very good. Well, a reminder to listeners that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and this morning my guest is Ben Vanderweel of Vanderweel Farms. Ben, let's jump into, so everything that was harvested last year is mostly gone except potatoes, right? But it's now April on the farm, and there's a lot of activity over there. What are you guys up to right now?
Yeah, we're the first vegetable planting has been seeded on Friday, whatever Friday was.
Yeah, the 30th?
30, yeah, March 30.
Yep.
And the next one will be seeded on Wednesday, I think that's April 4. And then we'll go back to every Friday, and we seed 12 times. Like I mentioned, the first one is up. It's always good in the spring to see new crops growing. It tells you, at least in the greenhouse, that it is this spring.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the fields are still white with snow. I wish that would go away so the sun can heat up some of those fields. But, we just have to wait and see what happens.
And we all know how quickly it can happen, right?
Oh, yeah. It can go pretty fast here. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is your 51st growing season, Ben, so I'm sure you've seen lots of changes over the years and lots of different weather, et cetera. When is the earliest that you've ever been in the fields planting?
Way back X number of years. I one time direct seeded on April 18.
Wow.
Yeah, that was before we did everything with transplants.
Okay.
But then there got some cold weather later on, and it didn't really, weren't able to harvest anything much earlier than. But now we do everything with transplants, and that is really the way to go. I would never, ever go back to the old way.
Okay.
This gives you a jump on quality, a jump on emergence, and the last 10 plus years, we usually have leaf lettuce around the longest day of the year, for sure the last week in June. So,
okay.
And then global warming. You know, that's maybe a popular item of discussion.
Sure.
But it is absolutely sure that here in the Mad Valley, we have global warming.
Yeah.
Our season is at least a week and a half earlier in the spring, and at least a week and a half longer in the fall as well.
Yeah.
So our growing season definitely is longer than it used to be.
Yeah. And you track the weather daily, right? You're
a
weather junkie.
Volunteer weather keeper.
Yeah.
It's just a habit that I have, and rare that I miss a day. And
yeah.
Yeah. No, I enjoy doing that. You know, I kind of live by the weather.
Yeah.
So, it's part of my life.
Right. Yep. So, Ben, we've talked about the vegetables a little bit and what you're growing, that the greenhouse is up and running and things are getting along in there. I want to talk about a couple of the new items that you've been growing, at least in the decade that I've known you. I've seen you try a lot of new things. And one of the things that you're becoming known for is the strawberries. So are the strawberries in the greenhouse
yet?
Yes,
ma'am. They're growing. They're having new leaves on them.
Yeah.
A flower or two in the greenhouse. And that's my latest hobby.
Yeah.
And we're doing two different things. We have hoop houses, which means it just grows it in the dirt, and it has a plastic cover over it, so it keeps the rain off of it, so you don't have any mildew and other diseases. But then you have to have drip tape on it and water it. But once you have that all set up, it's pretty convenient. And then beside my house where I live, we planted them in troughs or gutters or whatever you want to name it. And and they're about 3-4 feet off the ground, so that is pretty convenient.
Don't have to bend over to pick them.
Yeah, no more bending over. And It's been very interesting. It's become my hobby. I spend a lot of time in there. I can stand up straight and work and do what I like to do.
Yeah. So people are going to ask, so I'll just ask you, what variety of strawberries are you growing in the hoop house and the greenhouse?
It keeps changing. The two varieties that I've grown ever since day one is called Albion and Seascape. They're day neutrals. Very flavorful.
Yeah.
Red meat on the inside. A very good berry. You probably won't get that out of California because it doesn't ship very well.
Okay.
And a lot of California berries, they really don't have the flavor because they are bred to be shipped.
Right.
They can be on the road for weeks at a time, and they can be exported overseas, but it goes at the quality issue.
Yeah.
So that's very unfortunate.
Yep.
And then I tried a couple varieties, Andreas and Monterey, and they're second. They have their advantages. They're a little bit later than the other two. Every vegetable goes on a high and a low production item, so they fill in a slot when the other ones are tapering off for a little bit, and then Monterey really comes on, sets a lot of flowers, and by that time that is done, and then Albion and Seascape come back on. So we try to fill those areas, and then I tried a new one again this year. We have to wait and see how that turned out.
Okay.
I might tell for other people that are growing strawberries that last year I made a huge mistake. Found this variety Frontera in California, and they told me it was a June bearer, but here in California it keeps producing fruit all the way till the end of July. So I thought, well, I'm going to try that.
Okay.
Well, Frontera is a June bearer, and we got a nice flush of flowers, good fruit. The crew had them do a taste test and marked their bowls with A, B, C, D, and Frontera came out on top. But after that one flush of flowers, that was the end of that.
It never set fruit again?
It never put another flower on.
Oh, no.
Obviously, we never got a strawberry. So the message is, don't buy any June bearers. Buy day neutral plants, and they produce all season long.
Okay, very good. Your strawberries don't make it to grocery store there, though. If people want to try your strawberries, where will they find them?
Sometimes we do something on social media and have a sale in some parking lot in Palmer somewhere.
Yep.
But they last about an hour and a half on the farmer's market in South Anchorage and 15th in Cordova.
Yeah.
They're very popular.
Do you ever think you'll...
It's a good product.
Absolutely.
Very flavorful.
Yeah. Do you think in the future you will increase strawberry production enough that they will be in grocery stores, or are you where you want to be with
them? I need to become a better grower yet.
Okay.
I think there is a lot of opportunity there, but
sure.
They're very finicky. It's not the easiest crop to grow by no means.
Right.
So it has a lot to do with fertility, micronutrients, the correct water. We use drip lines, and I think that's almost a must.
Yeah.
Keep the plants dry, but feed their roots. And maybe someday down the road I might grow more.
Yeah.
But not in the near future.
Right. And moving on from strawberries, the other item that is kind of new over the last 10 years is the grain production.
Yeah.
You guys are expanding into some grains on the farm.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Tell me about that.
I started off with growing some of these old varieties that have been developed here in Palmer, Alaska by breeder Roscoe Taylor and Ingle Nogle and some of the other ones. And I started doing that and found out right away that close to you're ready to combine them, the half of it lays on the ground. Mm-hmm. They shatter real bad. And we do occasionally get some wind in Palmer, so that wasn't too good. So we've been looking for new varieties, and the Plant Material Center has definitely helped me to try some new varieties.
And we're talking about wheat, right?
Yeah.
Wheat, yeah.
We started off with wheat, and now I have a couple varieties that one is very good for making bread.
Yeah.
Another one is okay for cookies and other items along those lines. And then the third one is for making alcohol. There is an interest in there for some of the breweries are kind of interested to try that.
We had some Vanderweel Wit, or I guess it was called AK Farmland Wit, last week at 49th State Brewing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was there. It was pretty tasty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was curious. They called it an unmalted beer, but I think it was very flavorful. And since last year, my oldest son, Glenn, now he's interested in doing some malting.
Right.
So we finally got a two-row barley that is suitable to make beer out of. And we only had a couple acres, and it turned out okay, and harvested okay, and sent it off to some laboratories and universities. And so far, that looked pretty promising. A lot of samples have gone out to different brewers. Bleeding Heart and a couple in Anchorage. And 49 States got some.
And Bleeding Heart made some beer out of it, right?
Yeah. They have that coming available April 14.
Yeah.
And then even Alaska Brewing Company, they got some samples of our wheat and rye and this two-row barley as well.
Okay, very good. Well, one more reminder to listeners that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm the host, Amy Pettit, and joining me this morning is Ben Vanderweel of Vanderweel Farms here in Palmer. We have been chatting about vegetable production and grain production and all the things that go on there at the farm. We're at the kind of third segment of the show, Ben, so I think we ought to chat a little bit about the event that we have coming up next Saturday and also your involvement with Alaska Farmland Trust. I, of course, am the executive director of the trust, and I've been there since 2015, but you have been involved with Alaska Farmland Trust for a lot longer than me. So let's talk about why you became a board member of Alaska Farmland Trust a decade ago.
Well, obviously, my life is agriculture, so I've been a board member of the Alaska Rural Rehabilitation Corporation, which is a small agriculture lending bank. And we saw the handwriting in the early 2000s on the wall that we were losing some really good farm ground, mainly on the Springer system.
And right.
So after a lot of years talking about it, we need to do something about it. We finally formed Alaska Farmland Trust. I believe it was 2008.
Yeah, 2005, it was an official nonprofit when the paperwork started, yeah.
And it really didn't do much because there was huge amounts of money involved to save some conservation easements on property. And it, it became an organizational nightmare almost to come up with these millions of dollars trying to save a lot of properties.
Right.
So unfortunately, not much happened for quite a while.
Yeah.
And then we finally, after losing some more good ground, what is now the Palmer City Industrial Park, we decided we had to do something, get off the pot and do it.
Yeah.
So then we kind of formed and became more active in the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Yeah. Yeah. And so to date, five different properties have been permanently protected, totaling over 300 acres, which is, you know, a good start, right?
Twice. Yes. Very good. Yes.
And we're working on a 70-acre project right now with the Lewis family. And we've got, I think, four applications in queue that if we're successful at protecting those additional farms, we'll double our 300 acres to up over 600 over the course of the next, I don't know, 5-7 years, as long as it takes us to raise the money, right?
Yeah.
So we've gotten creative with how we raise money. I would say, especially since I've been there, we've tried a few different things in terms of fundraisers. And one of our more successful events, which this will actually be the third year we're doing it already, is Happy Hour in the Vanderweel Farm Greenhouse, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Saturday, the 14th, from 3:30 to 6 p.m., we'll have that happy hour event. And this year we've added a new component to happy hour. Do you want to talk about that?
You're referring to the prior time?
Yeah, the VIP ticket, the special tour with Ben.
Yeah. The last 2 years, the people were interested looking around, but but I wasn't aware that so many people really needed some basic information about growing plants and all that. And it's kind of surprising to me, because I thought in the Manuska Valley, there's a lot of people who have gardens and hobbies. But there definitely was an interest in it. So I'd be more than happy to spend another hour with some people that are seriously interested in learning how to grow plants and, in my case, vegetable transplants. And I'm planning on making it a hands-on event.
Okay.
And we'll go all the way from filling a tray and seeding it, and then we'll go in a greenhouse and let them see what a plant looks like a week old and 2 weeks old, and we'll talk about strawberries, what you can do and should do and should not do. And
it'll
be fun.
Yeah, it'll be a great opportunity. Not many people get to experience those all that knowledge that you have, those 50 plus years of Palmer growing knowledge, and for a price, you can spend that extra hour with Ben before the happy hour event starts. And just for listeners' pleasure, happy hour will include all Alaska grown appetizers. We will have Alaska grown beer, cider, and wine available. We'll have live music by the Carhartt brothers, some incredible gift baskets and door prizes. And again, it's a fundraiser for Farmland Trust at Vanderweil Farms. All of the ticket information is available at brownpapertickets.com. General admission is $50, and that includes your first beverage. And this VIP experience with Mr. Vanderweil, which again starts 1 hour prior to doors opening for everyone else, that is a $75 ticket, and those are going fast. So I would just mention to folks that if you are interested in attending happy hour or the special VIP time with Ben to get on Brown Paper Tickets and get your tickets before they're gone. Yeah. So it'll be a fun couple of hours in the greenhouse.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. We've been lucky. The prior 2 years, the weather was very nice.
Yep.
Of course, it will be warm inside the greenhouse, regardless what the weather is outdoors.
That's right.
I plan on doing that demonstration outdoors if the weather cooperate. If the weather doesn't cooperate, we move it inside in our shop. And we set up tables, and we're going to get our hands in the dirt and grow in media and do some seeding.
Oh, so very cool.
Regardless of the weather, it's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that from previous years. People would ask, what are we supposed to wear? And I would remind folks, it's pretty warm in the greenhouse,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
It's,
right.
What is the temperature in your greenhouse?
The thermostats are set at 70.
Yeah.
So when we get 70, the windows and the ventilation will open up. So
yeah.
Yeah, it will be in the 60s.
Yeah, nice warm couple of hours in the greenhouse. Yeah. It's not a night for your fanciest shoes, because it is a gravel ground and dusty.
Don't wear your church clothes. Come on, wear farm work clothes and
that's right.
Fit in with the rest of us.
That's right. All right, Ben. Well, our time this morning on Ag Matters Radio is up. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be in here with us this morning and talk about Vanderweil Farms. I do want to point out to folks that if they want to learn more, you do have a pretty active Facebook page at Vanderweil Farm, and they can go there to find out more information about where to get your products, etc. But thank you again for all that you do for Farmland Trust and for the Valley in producing food.
Okay, you're welcome, and hope to see a lot of people there on Saturday the 14th.
Perfect. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.